You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
We have one laughing emoji reaction so far to the show. I'm going to assume that that's laughing with us.
With Joshua Briscoe.
God, I hope so.
On ESPN Kansas City.
All right, let's talk about football. Is that okay with everybody?
Beards is sad. That's okay.
This is a really good conversation. I know that because it happened already. What? Time bending. Also, I just saw that in the media room of at some point with LeBron, there was a picture of a Chance the Rapper poster that I also have from his last big tour. That was kind of weird. Also, completely unrelated. This is a conversation that I had last night when I was filling in for Cody Tapp on Sports Night, because he was filling in for Kevin Keats on Between the Lines. I found this article very interesting, and I introduce you to a new person. This is Matt Lane. He's on Twitter at Chief in Carolina, the newest addition to the current staff of Arrowhead Pride Riders. Matt, we haven't spoken before. I hope you don't sound like a Muppet or something.
I hope not either.
All right, we're good. Woo! Certified speakable voice. Good to talk to you, Matt. I enjoyed your piece here on Eric Fisher, and it was, above anything, a tremendous way to make an introduction on Arrowhead Pride, because this is a topic that I feel like is under-discussed smartly, while it's over-discussed super stupidly.
Thank you. And yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from. Eric Fisher's been a super, just everyone's opinions on him are all over the place ever since we've drafted him. So my kind of goal was to dive in, kind of look at what he does well, what he doesn't, not necessarily how he's performing in terms of winning and losing, just what he actually does well in terms of traits and skills, and grade it out and see how it compares to other people around the league.
So give us a little bit of the traits and skills, some of the grading system. Don't give us the results yet, but just sort of what was the scaffolding that you had to build to actually create this this evaluation?
So I've been working for the last couple of years and mostly on Arrowhead Pride, just kind of putting up fan posts, not really working with them officially or anything, and following draft prospects and kind of creating scouting reports for them. So over the last couple of years, I've been kind of tweaking it a little bit to match up to pro players as well. Mm-hmm. So that way it kind of is a scale that I can compare from straight into prospects to pro players and get a better idea where the prospects will file in with pro players. So what I did was I took kind of the four main traits that I think any offensive tackle needs to succeed in the NFL and listed them one through four. When I was watching Eric Fisher film, looked through, tried to decide and see how good he was at each one of these things, found an extra set of four traits that I think make you go from competent in the NFL to excellent, gave him a grade on those four traits. So we're kind of looking at the four main traits is how is he in pass protection? How is he in run blocking? Pretty basic and self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. Then we went into mental processing. How well does he not only read the entire play coming at him, but the specific pass rusher and what his plan is, what's Fisher's plan against to counter it? And finally, just his explosion out of his stance and his range, which kind of goes under the radar, in my opinion, in terms of determining how quickly an offensive lineman can get into their sets, both in the run and the pass.
We might get through every single one of those categories, but before we do, we might at least not go in that order, I guess. Whenever you went really deep into the film here and doing this evaluation, what surprised you the most about Eric Fisher? Was there anything that you saw on film that you didn't necessarily expect to see while usually kind of watching the whole game at once?
Yeah, so the biggest thing that took me by surprise was Fisher in pass protection actually did a lot of quick setting. So that's the pass game. So what's happening is instead of dropping back at a normal 45-degree angle set and kind of waiting for the rusher to make his move, he's setting his feet real quick trying to get his hands on the pass rusher. And it's something that athletic linemen don't usually do as much. It's usually for somebody that's got slower feet, a little bit stronger. But Eric Fisher did that quite a bit when I was watching through the film, and that just kind of took me off guard. He was relatively successful at it, but I think he almost went to it a little too heavily, and sometimes you could see defenders start to get a little beat on it when he was going to try to do a quick set and be able to get him back on the inside when he tried to hit them with that.
Interesting. Is that something that's done out of necessity? Is that a coaching thing? Is that a play type thing? What do you think the reasoning behind that is?
It's hard to tell. When I was seeing most of his quick sets, I was trying to watch Schwartz a little bit too on the other side just to see if he was doing it as much.
Right.
Not quite as much. He definitely still did some, though. I think a little bit of it is just how many of the one-read quick throws that we have with Reed's system, especially over the years past. And then I think another part is Fisher just looks a little more comfortable doing either a quick set or a straight vertical set, dropping straight back rather than the 45-degree angle sets. He seems to get a little bit off on his trajectory, which puts him out of position. So I think he feels a little less comfortable with the more traditional set, and he just seemed to succeed pretty well with the quick sets with our offense.
Interesting. Okay, so let's go ahead and do some of the big picture stuff. With that being said as a jumping off point, what did you make of Eric Fisher, pass blocker?
So Eric Fisher is a pass blocker. It's not his strongest spot, but he's not terrible. It's a lot of hit or miss. It's high variance. He's left on an island a lot. The Chiefs are pretty notorious for leaving both offensive tackles by themselves in the pass blockers. Mm-hmm. Not much tight end or running back help. So that does make it a little more difficult for him. But at the end of the day, I kind of gave him an average starter grade as a pass blocker. So right in the middle of the pack for all offensive tackles, not just left tackles, but both right and left.
Okay, Eric Fisher, run blocker. Let's finish, I guess, the logical conclusion there.
Yeah, so going into run blocking, definitely better as a run blocker. His total score put him up as a Pro Bowl-level run blocker, which shouldn't be too much of a surprise. Mm-hmm. I think most people come out and believe that Eric Fisher is one of the better run blockers as a left tackle. He's got so much range, which I know it kind of creeps into our next category down the line, but he shows so much range as a run blocker that he can get to some spots that just most tackles can't get to. And even if he does fumble around sometimes when trying to set for the blocks, he just can get there, and it's something that's rare.
In either of those categories, and maybe this is one of the things a little farther down the line, what is Eric Fisher specifically very best at?
Very best at is going to be the explosiveness and range. So coming out of his stance, he's oftentimes, especially in the run plays, he's one of the first linemen out of his stance. He gets so much range, gets into the second level extremely quick when he's uncovered. He can reach block and seal somebody off if he's got backside contain, and he can get to inside linebackers that are playing over A and B gaps relatively easily.
That's something that we saw from him coming out of college, if I remember correctly. That was one of the things between him and Luke Jokel. I think I've got all this locked away somewhere. I haven't accessed this part of my brain in a while. But Luke Jokel was a little bit more, like NFL ready and polished, I guess, and Eric Fisher was the guy who had greater physical tools for stuff like having the prime explosiveness and range. You say that one of the best. Like, where exactly does that trait for him, where does that fit in the rest of the league?
So as far as that goes, I put him in the all-pro caliber category there. Mm-hmm. So essentially, I mean, if you're going to take the four best offensive tackles in the league, I mean, he's going to be right up there with them in terms of how much area he can cover and how quickly he can do it. And you're exactly right. When they were coming out, that was the big thing with Fisher. It was all just raw athleticism and potential versus Jokel, who was a little more pro-ready, a little more traditional. And Fisher hasn't let down in that aspect. Mm-hmm. It's just been a slow-developing curve for everything else.
So, yeah, so for those things that were even a concern coming out of the draft, where is Eric Fisher right now the weakest?
So far as his weakest, I'm going to go with his hands. There's a few things that are close to the same score, but his hand technique is still very, not even just raw, just he's very patient and unsure of when to let them go. So he's often catching pass rushers rather than engaging them with his hands first. And you really see that start to give him fits when he faces some better power rushers. Like, think back to we have the games versus James Harrison or Khalil Mack just getting into his chest early on. And those are kind of premier power rushers, and Fisher's just waiting for them to get to his body before getting his hands out of the holsters.
That's a really good – hand out of his holsters is a perfect phrase. That's fantastic. Is that something that you can chalk up to coaching or like that's so interesting to me because that feels like one of the most manageable parts about the game. Like you can't make someone that much rangier or that much more explosive. But I feel like trying to fix a guy's hands is something that's feasible. Is that fair?
Yeah, and it definitely is. He's come a long way since he was first getting into the league. I know he started out right tackle, shoulder issues, so we just kind of have to throw that away his rookie year.
Sure.
But since then, it has been a steady incline. in terms of just what his hands look like. They just still haven't gotten quite to where they need to be. A big thing that I did notice this year that I had seen, I saw less of this year than in years past, is he does a good job of getting both of his feet set before punching when he does.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that plagued him early on in his career, is he'd have his inside foot still in the air when he tried to punch, would just leave him completely off balance and lunging. And we saw a lot less of that, but it also came with less aggressive hand fighting.
What about the mental the mental processing section here? What does that mean, and then how is Eric Fisher at it?
All right, so mental processing, the first easy way to think about it is just when a defensive line's lined up, who's got what assignment, where do we think the defensive pass rushers are coming from, is there going to be a stunt, is there a blitz, you know, just being able to pick up on all those as quickly so that you're not given a free hit on the quarterback. And then Fisher, for that part, is great. He does a great job of helping whoever's playing left guard with him, picking up his inside man on stunts relatively quickly so the left guard doesn't have to get pulled out of position. He struggles a little bit more when he's having to read the pass rusher throughout a game. Some pass rushers have had luck or good luck setting him up throughout the game because he's not quite recognizing what move they're going to quickly or what counter move they're going to hit him with after he stops them. So he could still work a little bit more on that, but same thing. He showed improvement there over the years. So still trending up in terms of processing the game mentally.
You have a category here for recovery, and I haven't even scrolled. I went through this earlier. I can't remember what your numbers were and everything, and I tried to avoid looking at the score just now because I don't want it to tweak whatever it is that I'm thinking. But my perception of Eric Fisher is usually he holds his own. He's a perfectly passable left tackle in pass coverage. He's a very good tackle in the run game. But and maybe this is just a couple of big moments taking over, I don't know. Please tell me after I ask this question, I guess. My perception is that whenever Eric Fisher does get beat, he gets whooped. And so I wonder if that plays in the recovery thing, and I'm wondering what you've got from that section.
Yes. So I graded him pretty poorly in terms of recovery. I actually have him as below an average starter as a rotational player, which doesn't make sense for an offensive lineman, but essentially that's just a spot between being a good backup and a bad starter.
Right, sure.
In terms of recovery. So you're right. Once he does get beat, he does struggle to get back underneath his blocks. He's not even that great at pushing a pass rusher wide of the quarterback. Usually when he gets beat, he starts to stand up pretty tall and rely purely on his athleticism and his footwork that he's been working on since he came to the league goes out the window. He starts getting off balance again. And like you said, yeah, we've seen some ugly losses and not even just slowing someone down. They're quick, ugly losses from him. And that is something he definitely needs to work on going forward. I think a lot of that's also going to be tied into the hand fighting, though.
Mm-hmm.
He waits until somebody gets into his body, so he doesn't even slow them down on their initial move. So he's just playing catch-up from the get-go.
The over-relying on his own athleticism feels like, of all of the traits that aren't great, that feels like the one that might be the hardest to fix or change because it can be so ingrained that way. Is that something that you, like, again, feel free to parse this however you want. Is that something that you feel like there is a reasonable expectation of improving upon?
It's hard to say at this point in time because the Chiefs are definitely utilizing his athleticism
right.
in so many ways that I'm not going to say that he can't work on all the technical aspects of the game, but he's being asked to do a lot more than a lot of other tackles around the league that get to spend more time honing in on a few more basic and specific techniques. So while he's shown improvement and he does rely on his athleticism still, he shows just slight bit improvement every bit here and there. But overall, they use his athleticism so much, that's always going to be a huge part of his game.
We're talking to Matt Lane. He's at Chief in Carolina on Twitter. You should go follow him there. He's going to start doing more film work and stuff. And this one's fantastic. And not only was it a great spot, it's really good work talking about Eric Fisher. You can read this whole article also on Arrowhead Pride. If you go to arrowheadpride.com, you'll find it. It's one of the top articles right now. Matt, a question that I've had about Eric Fisher recently, this is a little bit outside of the realm of exactly what you did, so feel free to either speculate or tell me that you didn't do this. Either way is fine. But I've been really interested by how his production changes based on who he's playing next to. And that's a pretty logical thing that happens with offensive linemen. If you've got a great left guard next to you, then your mind's a little more at ease. You can trust him to do a little bit more. And I'm guessing the scheme also plays into that. But if memory serves, Eric Fisher's best season was spending most of his time next to Parker Anger. Do you have a logic behind that? Is that true? What do you make of how that all plays together?
So I was looking for that a little bit because everybody's floated that out throughout the time, and I do have a couple examples that I found of where it really does look like Fisher's sticking closer to the left guard, which was Witzman in all three of the cases that I found, and really keeping his eye on the defensive tackle that could be coming through that gap between the two, and it did cause him to get behind in his own pass set on the outside. So there could be something to it. The hard part is I do recall during the, I think it would be the 15th season when Ben Grubbs was here, once those two got to play next to each other, you started to see the real progress from Fisher come out.
Yeah.
And it's not like they got a ton of time together, but maybe it's that same thing, that having that competent left guard play next to him really allowed him to just focus on playing on an island like the Chiefs asked him to do so much.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see the continuity continue. So whether that be Whitson, whether that be Anger, whoever it's going to be, I think it just needs to be to somebody that he feels comfortable with, because I do think there are times where Fisher tries a little too much to protect his inside shoulder and not make sure someone gets through that gap rather than focusing on his pure assignment to the outside.
That's really interesting, and not to say that inside pressure isn't always bad for quarterbacks, because it obviously is, but there might not be a ton of quarterbacks in football who it was worse for than Alex Smith, and it seems like there aren't many quarterbacks that are more comfortable keeping their eyes up despite it, other than Patrick, outside of Patrick Mahomes. So I wonder if that will change anything. It might not, and it probably shouldn't from Fisher's perspective. But Alex Smith always had that issue keeping his eyes up, and that's one of the best traits from Pat Mahomes. I wonder. This isn't a question. You can say it, whatever. Not going to end in a question mark. I wonder if that will impact what the Chiefs are doing there at all. Because leading up to the draft, I consistently groaned and grumbled about the idea of the Chiefs drafting a guard anywhere other than the last couple of rounds. They ended up doing a defensive tackle turned guard, but a guard nonetheless. I always hated the idea of taking a guard in the first four rounds, because I think Patrick Mahomes is capable of moving around in a pocket and keeping his eyes up despite a little bit of dirt in front of him. But I wonder if that plays into with Fisher at all.
Yeah, and I 100% agree with you in terms of not really wanting to spin too highly on a guard at this point in time. Mm-hmm. I would like to see what Mahomes can do. I know pressure up the middle is never a good thing for any quarterback, but when you have a mobile quarterback that's willing to move outside the pocket with two offensive tackles that can move with the pocket as well, that's one thing I had highlighted with Fisher, and I saw Schwartz do it too. Their footwork and ability to mirror defenders down the line of scrimmage as the pocket's moving is fantastic. So getting Mahomes out on the move is going to be something they do often, and if it happens naturally via pressure up the middle, it might not be the end of the play as much as it has been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I want to look forward to seeing. I didn't get a grade Eric Fisher or any Chiefs players the same way last year because I was still working on the grading scale,
mm-hmm.
but I'm glad that I have the grade out there now. So now after this season with Mahomes, we can kind of go back and look and compare Fisher's season this year to next year and see how it just kind of does with different quarterbacks behind him, maybe a few different scheme changes going on as well.
I want to go big picture in just a second, but of the individual categories and everything, are there any of them that we haven't touched on yet that you think is a really important piece of the puzzle for what Eric Fisher is?
I quickly touched on balance and footwork there, but I'm going to hit it again real quick just because this is something that I'm sure Chiefs fans are going to remember. Eric Fisher coming out had some pretty poor footwork. Like I said earlier, he had a bad issue with picking up his inside foot, called his post foot, far too often right as he's about to initiate contact or make contact, and it's something he's really cleaned up. He doesn't cross his feet much. His feet are nice, quick, choppy steps. So overall, his foot technique's improved a lot. That's something that maybe he's put a little bit more emphasis on fixing his feet rather than his hand technique, and that's something that's going to come with more time now. Not 100% sure on that, just kind of speculating a little bit, but his feet look a lot better than they did earlier in his career. So I gave him an above-average starter grade for his balance and footwork. The one issue I had with his balance is he'll still play too high sometimes, and it's hard being a 6'7" offensive tackle in the NFL to always play low to keep your balance nice and square. But he gets a little high, starts bending at his waist a little bit, and it gets him moved. He doesn't fall often, but he'll start to move and stumble around while he's trying to regain his balance. So that's the one area he could kind of fix a little bit there.
Okay, so let's do the big picture thing now. You fill in this however you want. What is Eric Fisher?
That is going to be the million-dollar question, this whole thing.
Yeah, it is.
Where where we got to the end of this is what it is. Eric Fisher on any given play can be a top five offensive tackle. He can be asked to do something crazy, something that defenses cannot expect to be coming. And on any given play, he's still so inconsistent that he can prove to be almost a backup caliber tackle. Now, that said, more often than not, he is playing at the closer to the higher end of that spectrum. So he's still an above average starter in my mind. I went through and graded it, averaged everything out, weighted everything I needed to, and he came out comfortably in the above average starter category, which I think if you can erase his five best plays and five worst games for any couple games throughout the year, that's what you're going to come up with most people thinking, as long as you quit giving up the quick sacks and the plays where he dominates somebody on the move in the run game. We just have an above-average left tackle right now.
Okay, so above-average left tackle is, I think, from what I've seen of Eric Fisher, totally fair, and obviously I'm letting you set the market on that. I take your word for it. Excuse me. That was just the worst. I couldn't breathe. The thing that I'm curious as to where you end up with an above-average starter is, what is an above-average left tackle worth? He's going to make about $14 million this year, $13 next year, $12 the year after that. And in 2020, when he's making $12 million, if they make him a post-June 1st cut, it would be for $2 million in dead cap space, $9.5 against the cap. But realistically, he's at least here these next two seasons. Is this a reasonable value? Are they overpaying Eric Fisher? Is this fair value for an above-average left tackle? Where do you stand on that?
So it's kind of the same thing. Going to ride the fence a little bit before giving the full answer.
Sure.
I'm going to say he's probably a little bit overpaid, but at the same time, it's still one of the most premium positions in football.
Yep.
So if you're overpaying a little bit for a premium position, are you really overpaying? You look around the league, and there's definitely better players that are making less money at either left or right tackle, but there's also a couple guys that are right in the same tier contract-wise that are definitely worse players.
Mm-hmm.
We signed his contract relatively early compared to a lot of the people coming up their contracts are ending.
Yeah.
So here in the next year or two, his contract's going to look a lot better than it does right now. This is just another one of those. Our previous GM got his guy. He signed him to a good contract for him.
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with it. It's not the best financially for the Chiefs, but this one's also not killing us like some of the others may have heading into this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
If he continues to regress, I'm saying regresses. I think, again, I didn't do this great in 2016, but I thought in 2016 Fisher just looked better than he did this year when watching the games back.
Mm-hmm.
So if he continues to regress back to this same range he did this year, I would think the Chiefs are going to consider looking for a replacement towards the end of those 2 years. But if he can return back to his form of last year or 2016, or just start to show more consistency with what he's doing, I think that he's going to be here for a while, even if you're paying him as a well above average left tackle.
That makes sense. It's also good to know that, you know, they're standing pat this year, and then this year will inform what they do. Maybe they try to draft his replacement next season and then give that guy a year to pick up in the next year's draft and everything. All that is totally reasonable to me, and it speaks pretty well for where they're at right now. You get another year of evaluation before you actually have to make any of those calls. All right, Matt, we'll let you go. Do you have anything coming up on Arrowhead Pride? Do you know what your next piece is going to be, or are we still working on that?
So I'm still working on it, but I do know what it's going to be. So the next piece of film we're looking at is I decided to go ahead and hit both hot-button players right off the bat. We got Eric Fisher, and we're following that right up with Dan Sorensen. That should be coming out this weekend to early next week. People that are following me on Twitter at Chief in Carolina can see some of the plays that I've already started to highlight and show some highs and lows of Sorensen's play. So that's going to be a fun one for everybody to look forward to as we continue to watch this safety market show very minimal movement.
Very good self-Twitter plug. Extremely natural. A-plus effort on that. You get 100 on your scale for Twitter mentioning, which is something that I hold as an extremely important quality. And also, do me a favor as you're looking through that and figure out if the Chiefs need to cut him, okay?
I will let you know as soon as I find out.
That's Matt Lane of Arrowhead Pride, newly of Arrowhead Pride, always of Chief in Carolina on Twitter. He plugged his own Twitter better than I did. Matt, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you for having me on, Josh. Everybody, enjoy your evening.
It's really good stuff there. Also, like, oh, man, a metered response and evaluation of Eric Fisher? How dare we? With numbers and facts and statistics and actual film evaluation? No, he's the worst. He's the best. Guys like Matt are going to kill sports radio and television. How are you supposed to stay in this job if you've got people doing good film evaluation? Him and really him and Seth and Kent and really all of Arrowhead Pride and also Seth. And also Arrowhead Addict has a whole bunch of film breaker downers that are fantastic. This is a true thing about the Chiefs fan base that I feel like is really good. I've been here for a good while now, but we have so many good fanalists, which is my word, and if anyone else takes it, bring it back to me. There's so many good fanalists in this market, people doing really good work like that ends up, you know, starting as a Chiefs fan, ends up being a Chiefs analyst, or both at the same time, and then like doing stuff like creating grading systems, breaking down film and everything. I think Seth Kaiser, who's now of The Athletic, I think he was probably the first guy to like really break through that wall. But there are so many good evaluations on both those sides over on The Athletic, all that. It makes it to where there's no excuse to be a dumb Chiefs fan. Some of you are determined. I know it because I'm on Twitter still.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.